Good morning. I'm Tim Morrison, the host of Right Here, Right Now, a weekly internet radio show. We interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And Right Here, Right Now is brought to you by Right Choice Services, a company that coaches individuals as they write their first book, or their second, or third, or any book. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton, a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Good morning, sir. How you been, man?
I'm fine. So did you survive high school graduation of your firstborn?
I did. We had this huge party in the cul-de-sac with a tent, and we had family and dinner, and I'm worn out and broke, but it's going to be a nice set of memories.
And you've got 4 years before you do it again, right?
Right. I got 4 years to ramp up for Kelly.
About that time, your other daughter will be graduating from college. It'll be a double dose, right?
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, you know, as we always are doing here, Stone, we have two dynamic guests this morning. But before we get to them, I thought we could talk a little bit about our own writing journey. Because, you know, the purpose of Right Here, Right Now is to encourage people, especially entrepreneurs and professionals, to write that book they dream of writing. And you've done that, haven't you?
Well, I have, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I can't remember if it's 2000 or 2002, I got to look inside the inside cover, but I self-published a book, and it was really, what I did is I took the keynote that I was out on the road doing and tried to put it into book format, and looking back, I wish I'd had more professional direction, but it really did a lot of good for me. It gave me extra credibility. It helped me crystallize my message, and so it was a very positive experience for me.
Well, you also recently found out that it's actually being used by a company, too, haven't you?
Yeah, that was fun. We got a phone call at the other studio. They've been hunting down this Stone Payton guy because they've been using it in their leadership development program for like 10 years.
Oh, my.
And so they talked to Lee Cantor over at the other studio in Glen Lake. And Lee gives them my phone number. In the meantime, they find on the internet that I'm in the same floor in the same building out here in Alpharetta as they are. So they're right down the hall.
From where we are right now.
Right. So I had to call Mom and get the books out of her basement, you know, to take over to her.
That's exciting. But that's the impact of writing a book, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get it out there and companies may take it on. All of a sudden, you're an expert and you never knew it.
Yeah, God love them. I walked in the conference room. They had a meeting a couple of weeks ago. And you never know what their picture of the author that they've been studying for 10 years is.
Oh, my.
Here comes this short, fat redneck. And it was probably a very different mental image than what they had. So I don't know if that took the wind out of their sails or not.
Did you have your Western boots on that day?
Well, I always have them on, man.
There you go.
Either these or my Chuck Taylors, nothing in between.
But there you go. That's part of what happens when you write a book, and we get excited about that. So, well, our two guests this morning are Gail Reed and John Damiano. It's been my practice always, if you've been listeners, that I go ladies first, but today we're going to reverse that, and there's a reason for doing that. John is contemplating writing his first book, and I'm told he has ideas that not only does he have ideas, but he has good ideas. And I invited him to Right Here, Right Now so that our listeners are encouraged by John's drive and determination. John Damiano is a native of Los Angeles, California, and has lived in Atlanta since 1999. And you spent over 30 years in retail executive management. Huh?
That's right, yes.
And then in 2002, you left the retail business to pursue a career in real estate in Atlanta.
Yes, isn't that something?
Oh, yeah, but you didn't know, did you? Like, none of us knew at that time what it could be like.
That's true. You know, as I said, you know, as my bio says, I spent lots of years in the retail business, ran retail companies around the United States, and I guess I got tired of it. It wasn't fun anymore.
Oh, I understand that in part. I do. Well, even that first year that you were in real estate, you were named by RE/MAX as the Greater Atlanta Rookie of the Year. You've already achieved lifetime status in the Million Dollar Club, the 100% Club, the Executive Club. I'm so glad to have you here this morning, John.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, you've had a wealth of corporate experience. You've been an executive vice president, a chief executive officer, a COO, and a real estate broker. Is there a common thread in there anywhere?
I guess I always like to be in charge.
Can't hold down a job. That's what it looks like to me.
That would be Stone. That's Stone.
Thanks, Stone.
I'll have trouble getting guests in here, you know. No. But there's something to be said for that. You've turned programs around. You've made them more profitable.
Right, exactly. You know, the thing is that, you know, whatever you do, you should have a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had a passion for whatever I've done. And, yeah, I guess, you know, the retail industry was a good breeding ground because it taught me a lot about life. It's not an easy industry to be in, and I think that it is, though, a good industry if you want to do anything in life. You have to have disciplines in order for you to be able to be successful at what you do.
And that really becomes true as a real estate broker, too. When you're your own boss, more or less, and you've got to tell yourself, get out of bed, get on the street, get going.
That's right. I mean, you know, it depends on your focus in life, and you have to be able to be a self-starter. You have to have a plan. You know, one of the things a lot of real estate agents don't do is they don't get up in the morning and go to an office. You know, they stay in their homes and they work out of their houses. For me, that isn't business. You know, I have to get mm-hmm. out. I have to meet people. You know, even if I don't go into the office, I try to schedule business meetings and be out there amongst the people.
Yeah, you have to get moving. I work out of my home. I have an office there for Right Choice Services, and my commute is down the hallway. But I get up, and I'm at the desk 8 o'clock in the morning, if not before. It's important. You have to have that discipline.
That's a good discipline. Unfortunately, not everybody has that kind of discipline when they work out of their homes. You know, everything else takes precedent. But if you do have a mindset where you get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to my office, and basically you put yourself in a different place, even mm-hmm. though it might be in your house,
mm-hmm.
but you do that. Or you schedule early morning meetings. You can still get out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
you know you're in the working track. Well, our common friend, as you know, is Emil Paradis with the Referral Institute, and he suggested a long time ago that we meet. And we tried that, but Mother Nature got in the way with one of those ice storms, and so here we are. Emil believes that you have at least one book in you and that I can help you get it on paper. So what do you have to say to that?
Well,
to put you on the spot or anything, but what do you think?
Well, I respect Emil, and you know, he's probably right. I probably do have at least one good book inside me. I think that there's a tremendous opportunity. I think, you know, since I've been in the real estate industry, I think that it's an opportunity to educate people on the real estate industry. But more important, I think that Atlanta is a great place to live right now. And there's lots of people that are relocating into Atlanta, not only from other parts of the United States, but they're relocating internationally. I mean, this is one of the fastest growing areas in the United States where companies from outside this country are moving to. I'm involved in the World Trade Center Atlanta.
Ooh.
And so I'm seeing statistics, you know, all the time of what is going on here. And, you know, there is companies from all over the world that find Atlanta to be a desirable place to live. So what we need to do is we need to be able to educate people on Atlanta, what's going on in Atlanta. And that's kind of where my mindset is maybe to create a book which will educate people from everywhere on what we have to offer.
I like that, and I appreciate what you're saying there, because you're really the first of my guests who's in the formative stage, and that's a critical piece. You know, I love to say to people that anybody really can write a book. It's the quality that we're after.
Mm-hmm.
And quality can be achieved through a number of ways, but just the idea of me write a book, how do you wrap your head around that? So how did you get to the point where you are now saying, as you just did, that you want to educate people about Atlanta? What do you see being in that book, if you've thought about it at all?
Well, you know, I've relocated over the years in corporate America from Los Angeles to Dallas to here in Atlanta. And, you know, there were certain things that, you know, I found in my life that, you know, I wished that I had when I moved into a city. You know, a true guide. You know, when people move in, they don't know where, you know, the DMV is. They don't know, you know, about the school systems. They don't know about, you know, the job placement for a trailing spouse. You know, there's all kinds of things you can think about. I mean, you could create a menu of things. But more important is, where do you have fun? What are the great places in Atlanta to go to? And, you know, I think that people desire that information. And if we can educate them and have a book that would give them that information that could actually be updated on an ongoing basis, I think that it could be exciting.
I got to tell you a story out of my past life. You know, I was in ministry for 25 years, mm-hmm. and one of the jobs that I had was I started a new church for our denomination out in Aurora, Illinois. Mm-hmm. We were the third new church. Two other denominations got there first, so I had to figure out a way to set us apart. So I put together a little flyer with phone numbers of those things you just listed. I never thought about putting the fun things to do, but then again, churches probably shouldn't put fun things to do, you know. So, but I like that idea.
Right. And, you know, I hear it all the time. You know, we have a very strong, I have two business partners, and we have a very strong business focused on relocation.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of questions that people ask all the time. You know, where can I backpack? Where can I do this? Where can I do that? You know, how far is the closest beach from Atlanta?
Wow, those are intriguing thoughts.
You know, and for me, coming from Los Angeles, I grew up on the beach, so
yeah,
that was always a good question for me. But, you know, I think that if people were able to have a book like that,
mm-hmm.
that gave them, you know, 365 days of activity that they could do in Atlanta, gave them the ability to know where everything is,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they would appreciate that.
It would make their acclimation a whole lot easier.
On top of which, I would probably put in client testimonials in there, too.
Oh, gee. You know? I think that would be a good thing to do.
Well, you could sell it to the companies. You wouldn't have to necessarily sell it to the individual, but you could sell it to the IBMs, the Bell Souths, the Georgia Powers, those guys, right?
No question. You know, I think, and again, because it happens all the time. You know, big corporations, when you sit down with them, they want to have information that they can share with the people that are relocating. They're trying to get to relocate,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're offering them a package. So we want to put this, you know, together, and hopefully this will be something exciting, you know, for them. And in the meantime, I'm working on a relocation platform, and we've actually registered the name Corporate Relocation Concierge.
Oh, my.
So what we want to do is we want to create, you know, a concierge service, which the book would then enable us to do that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you mentioned there that I want to lift up is when people think about writing a book, they think about being on the bestseller list. Reality is that 90% of books ever published sell less than 300 copies. But what I try to point out to people is you don't always have to go that traditional market. You've already said, with Stone's urging, that you know, you go off to IBM, you go off to corporates and say, here's a book I think you might want to buy. And that's what business people can think about.
Mm-hmm. I think it's you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, it really, it gives you the ability to walk into anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and basically make yourself and differentiate yourself from everybody else.
We talk about books being a unique kind of business card. This takes it even a step further because you put it together. This is the information. This is a service I can provide. And oh, by the way, it comes out of my own life experience.
No question. And you know, earlier we were talking about QR codes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put a QR code on the book, and if people scan it, you could have a video talking about, you know, your book and what you've done and what you're trying to do and accomplish, which I think could be exciting.
Could you tell people what a QR code is? Because I'm learning that some people are just learning what those are.
And could you tell us how to spell concierge?
Yes, I could. Well, a QR code is a barcode that has been designed. You know, it goes way back. If you look at, you know, any piece of merchandise or anything in a store today, they have a barcode that you can scan that gives all kinds of information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, a QR code basically does the same thing, but with a QR code, you can design it so it could take people to your website, You could take people to a video. You could take people to almost anything that you want to take them to that you can't put into print, on a piece of paper or in a book or anything. So it gives you an opportunity to market more effectively.
Well, what the fun I had this morning is when you came in and I gave you my brand new, the ink's still wet on it, let's talk my right here, right now card, and you saw the code and you brought it up and passed it around to everybody in the studio.
That's right. You know, iPhone has an app.
Yeah,
they got
it does.
An app for that you can, you know, have QR readers that you can scan that. And, you know, and that's really, I think, the way of business in the future. You're going to see magazine ads where, you know, advertisers can't put all the information they want to put into it. Well, they'll put it on a QR code and you scan it and all kinds of things. I think it offers a great opportunity for writers of books that you could put messages in there that I think, you know, will make your book even more exciting.
I like that idea. You've been a delight, John. Folks who want to be in touch with you, they want to talk with you, get advice. What's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, they can either email me at john@tpgatlanta.com. That's tpgatlanta.com. Or they can call me directly at 678-298-1591.
Well, I appreciate that information. You will stick around, I trust, while I interview Gail, and then we'll all talk when we're done with her.
You bet.
Okay, great. Well, let's turn our focus over to Gail Reed. She is or was a CPA, small business consultant. Gail went to work for Arthur Anderson in both the audit and tax departments until she founded her own firm in 1987. And for the next many years... Gail built her CPA practice with a specialty in small businesses, and she's advised hundreds of companies. What I like is from startup through liquidation. They liquidated under your direction?
Sometimes that's the best answer.
It is. While over the years, you've seemed to observe firsthand the nature of small companies and the people that own them. So you sold your firm, is that right?
That's correct.
And then you started to write?
Yes, I did. And that's an interesting story if you are...
We have time. We like stories.
I was fortunate to see an article in the New York Times in July of 2008, right after I had sold my practice, and contacted a career coach, actually an intuitive coach, from New Orleans. We were just talking about New Orleans a little earlier before the show. And she... Her name is Sue Frederick, and she... counseled me for an hour and actually said that what she saw for me by looking at my birth date and a few other things, that I had writing in my future and I had speaking and teaching in my future. That's what she thought I was put here to do.
And did you look at her and say, you've got to be kidding?
No, I didn't, Tim. I said, you know, I have a book idea. It's an idea that it's just been bantering about, sort of a fun thing that my husband and I have talked about, relating a certain very popular film, The Godfather, to small lessons in small business.
Oh, my.
And I started to think that that was a possibility, where before I really didn't think that it was, it was something that I would seriously consider. And so a few months after that, I took a course that evening at Emory from a gentleman named Tom Bird, who has a writing method, write your book in 30 days, and also a very good, very small, to-the-point book on how to get published. And I followed his directions, and one thing led to another. And essentially what happened for me was, although I didn't get my book that I wanted to write or I thought I wanted to write published initially, I did get the opportunity to write The Complete Idiot's Guide to Low-Cost Startups by putting my proposal out there and having an agent in Sacramento, California, of all places, put me together with Penguin Books in New York. And through that, they were looking for somebody to write this particular title.
Isn't that intriguing? You set out to write, and it didn't turn out the way you thought it would. And
Correct.
Then it turned out even greater.
Yes. Yes, although I still have a book in me, Tim, so there's still possibilities.
Let me talk to you about somebody who helps pull those out of out of you. You know, I had that same thing. I like to tell people that my first manuscript that I wrote actually became my third book after 13 years, 27 rejection letters, and 3 major rewrites. Mm-hmm. But in between, I wrote a first one and a second one, and so that's fun. You weren't discouraged, though, when you wrote it and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to be.
I was amazed at the response from the literary community. Again, I followed, you know, I'm still a CPA. Let me mention that. That license is hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
You work hard.
Oh, yes, you do.
So, and it's a lot harder to get it back if you give it up. So I still have to take classes in order to keep it intact, but I'm still a CPA. So I'm very good at following directions, following rules. That's really what a CPA does, is read forms and interpret tax law. So when I had a guideline from my teacher, Tom, I was able to just follow it and use a database to send out a query letter. And I don't know if you ever get into that. That might be a subject for another day, because mm-hmm. it's really off topic for low-cost startups, which I would like to talk about.
Sure.
But in sending out the query letter, I sent out 900 through an electronic database, and within 2 hours, I was getting responses. So even
wow.
though I didn't get a book deal for that book, just the level of response, the timeliness of the response, and the politeness of the literary professional just was overwhelming to me.
But I would guess that part of their professional and politeness toward you was because you came across as a professional.
Well, thank you.
And I'm serious about that, because I've had clients who have sent out query letters and then feel offended with the response they get back. And I ask them, what was your query letter? In fact, show me your query letter. And my comment is often, you're lucky you got any response.
No. I got 250 responses out of 900.
Wow.
And of those, 25 were positive, send me your proposal. So I was really, really pleased with that. And then the market crashed, and it was hard for an unknown author, an unpublished author, to get a book deal. But I am not unknown anymore. I have a media platform. I've had some wonderful PR on this book, Low Cost Startups. And really more than that, in talking about passion, as John was talking about earlier, I am passionate about helping people who want to start businesses and people who have businesses be successful and profitable. When you think about the statistic that everybody takes for granted, that 50% of all business startups fail within the first 5 years, you have overwhelming odds when you take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe that failure is optional, that success or failure in business is something that is really dependent and is really on you and is in your hands if you make the right decisions.
Now, you were able to develop this based upon your work as a CPA with all kinds of companies.
Yes, that's true.
Make that connection for me and for our listeners.
Well, I had a lot of experience with a lot of different businesses. The challenge here was the editor, who had a preconceived idea of what he wanted for this book. So I was given parameters.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked him, what do you mean by low cost, I was expecting $5,000, $10,000. But instead, he came back with $1,000.
Oh, my.
And I thought, what on earth am I going to write about? But as I started to think about it and look through my database and thought about my clients, many of whom had been clients for years, and I had a lot of exposure to a lot of business ideas. I knew a lot of people who had started from scratch, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
So I started there. And then I just read and thought about things. You know, the internet has really changed our ability. It's almost a gift from God, from the universe,
mm-hmm.
because it makes things so much more easy and possible that were not possible 20 years ago. I don't know how I would have written this book in 90 days 20 years ago. But with the power of the internet and with the right drive and the right editor and who had deadlines for me, I was able to come up with ideas. So, for example, concierge is in my book. I have vacation concierge, which is somebody who would help plan a vacation, similar to some of the concepts that John was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel and agree with John that Atlanta is really underserved by people who are touting the great things there are to do here. Why don't we have a gourmet food tour like they have in other cities? We have great restaurants and great chefs here. Why should Savannah have three food tours and we have zero? So I came up with ideas like food tour, like vacation concierge.
Well, that's on pages 69 to 72.
Thank you.
That's sweet. I like that. Yes. I like that.
So the first hurdle that I had in getting this contract to write the book was to come up with a table of content. The editor said, we love your business writing. You have great ideas about how people should start a business. But really what we want are ideas. We want this book to be something people can go to and find something that talks to them, that speaks to them, so that they can pursue their dream to start a business. Because so many people have this dream of starting a business, but really they say, but I don't know what I would do. And so that's the book is supposed to be an answer to that.
That's great. Is there some kind of a disconnect between the hurdles you went through to be a CPA and to being a noted author for The Complete Idiot's Guide?
Well, if you look at the back, the first thing they say is, you're no idiot. But
she's,
you know,
right.
You know, my dad told me many, many years ago, my dad was an entrepreneur, so I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and he really was the guiding spirit for me in many respects in everything that I've done, along with my mom. And he told me many years ago that some of the best ideas, the most successful ideas, are ideas that have been copied from other successful ideas. Just because there's one person in the market doesn't mean there can't be two or three. So I think, you know, the Dummies books, which still dominate, were such a huge success that mm-hmm. Penguin Alpha Publications came up with a competitor. They called it something similar. But these are books for people who really want information, who want it in a nutshell, who don't want a lot of fancy language around it. And they want a direct answer. And that's how it's designed, as you can see in small paragraphs, a very similar template for each chapter, for each topic.
Well, this is an amazing book, looking at the table of contents. You've got personal touch, home makeovers, hospitality, business goods and services. This was an education for you.
Yes,
it
was. And it was also an opportunity to connect with people, because the way I put the book together was, after I did internet research, I identified people who, based on their web presence, looked successful or mm-hmm. were successful in what they were doing. And I contacted them, sent out emails to several in each business asking them if they would give me 30 minutes on the phone. And 50% of them said yes. And a lot of the success stories that I have in there and a lot of the information I have in there came directly from successful people who are doing exactly the type of businesses that I talk about.
Did you ask them about how much their startup was? Can you say $1,000 will get people going?
Yes.
Wow.
And there's detailed breakdowns in each for each idea of what you need and what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And more than costs, for me, what drives a business, I think everyone in the room will agree, is revenue. You know, you can keep your costs low, but if you don't have money coming in the door, you don't have a business. So the reason I wanted to talk to people, I wanted to develop a relationship where they would feel comfortable sharing with me what they were making. Because I thought the most important piece for each section was, how much can you make with this job?
Mm.
So every section starts with a range of revenue. Now, it may not be your first year revenue,
because
there's always going to be ramping up. But once you get going, you know, there are some businesses that have the potential to make six figures, and there are other businesses. For example, I have elder care or child care in there, and we all know that those are not the highest paying industries.
Mm-hmm.
And those businesses are very viable, but you're not going to make more than $30,000, $40,000, $50,000
a year. I found a six-figure possibility, organization and efficiency expert.
Yes.
That's not yours.
That
Stone.
Is not in my wheelhouse, but I would pay six figures to bring that capability on.
I thought so. What would be the first thing someone would do to get started?
The first thing that someone has to do is to write a vision And sometimes you actually write your vision down on a piece of paper. It should be 2 to 3 paragraphs, and it should identify the type of business that you want to do and how you see yourself doing it and where you see yourself, say, 2 to 3 years from from now. So, for example, if somebody were to, I'm coaching someone right now, in a young man in Virginia who is about to launch a residential cleaning business. So his vision, as I have a worksheet you go through, you ask yourself questions, identifies the area that he wants to work in, what type of service he wants to deliver. Is it regular cleaning services? Is it specialty, you know, one time garage cleaning or basement cleaning, commercial versus residential, plus the results he wants to deliver to his customer. He wants his customers to be delighted when they come home to a clean house.
Mm-hmm.
So you set the stage for what you want for the company. That's step number one. Step number two is to do your homework, because you can't bring your A game to the marketplace unless you do your research. So you have to, just like I researched my book, this is the type of advice I give to people. It's really easy to contact people who are doing what you want to do and ask them questions.
And they want to tell their story.
They absolutely want to tell. They want to tell you what that succeeded for them, and they want to tell you what mistakes they made so that you avoid those mistakes.
Yeah.
How valuable is that? And that's free.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the best part. Do you find that your clients kind of balk? What, I have to have a vision? I have to be specific?
I don't think people balk at the vision, and particularly right now, as I'm getting started in this field, I am really hand-holding people, and I'm helping them craft the vision. I do have some writing ability, so we generate the idea. We spend a session talking about their vision, and at the end, I have taken their ideas and I've written them down into something that really moves them, speaks to them. So that's not the issue. I think you have to have a certain amount of you have to be, you can't be an introvert and start a business. You really have to be outgoing enough that you can pick up the phone or send an email to somebody and set up an appointment to talk to them. You have to get out there. Just like John was saying, you sit in your house, and I've had clients who've done this, and their businesses just, you know, hit a stalemate. They sit in their office. They work on things. You can busy yourself all day long, but are you moving your business forward? Usually not.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've referred to John several times in our conversation, and I can just see him chomping to be able to get back at you with some questions. So what I want to do before we open up the mic is, people who want to purchase one of your books or be in contact with you, how do they do that?
Go directly to my website, Gail M. Reid, G-A-I-L-M as in man, R-E-I-D.com. And there's a buy now button for the book. You can use PayPal, credit cards. And there's also a tab for people that people can use to contact me directly.
Great. Great.
And I'd love to hear from them.
And there's a class coming up that you're teaching, you were telling us about before we came on here. Tell us about that.
Stone.
Yeah.
This is big news for me. I just found this out last week. I had an application to teach Launch Your Startup, Create the Business of Your Dreams, Make Money Now, that I will be teaching starting on September 13th for 8 weeks on Tuesday nights at Evening at Emory on the Alpharetta campus. And this will be a new part of their entrepreneurship program, and I'm hoping it's going to be very successful. So essentially what I'm doing is taking a one-on-one coaching program that I've been using with students one-on-one and expand it into a workshop, hands-on experience where ideally people will come in with an idea or get an idea quickly, and within the 8 weeks, by the time they graduate, have either have their business going or be on the cusp of actually launching a business.
Oh, that's exciting. So you've gone from CPA to university instructor.
Yes.
Boy, that's impressive.
Yes.
Well, let's throw it open. John, do you have anything you want to challenge her on?
No, actually, I love her logo here, the Complete Idiot's Guide, too. And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, Gail, you and I should collaborate. This is like chicken soup for the soul. I just came up with 4 books: The Idiot's Guide to Relocation, to Buying a Home, Selling a Home, and Investing. So maybe we could collaborate and we could write four books together.
Certainly would be delighted to talk about it.
I think that this is a great brand.
It is.
The Complete Idiot's Guide.
Yeah, it is. People see the brand and they say, is this the real Complete Idiot's Guide? Yes, it is. And I do have the permission to use the logo on my material. So it really does give validation. Mm-hmm. And I think really any book gives validation, is a great calling card. But it's also a way to get your message out. And I think, you know, what we've said this morning is we basically, when it comes down to it, want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help them launch successful businesses that don't fail, that achieve people's dreams. You want to help people come to Atlanta and love it from the beginning.
Well, and you know, the thing is I think people relate to idiot's guides or, you know, dummy mm-hmm. guides. And I think that this is great. I mean, just sitting here, you know, my creative juices have been flowing. And you're right, I was chomping at the bit.
Well, you've created businesses too, haven't
right.
you, yourself?
Yeah, so. No question. So for me, you know, again, as part of the education, if we can educate people on these things, and but this list could go on and on and on. There's all kinds of things that you could do. I mean, it could be, you know, the Idiot's Guide to International Business,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could do here that I think would help us, you know, promote this city, you know. And, you know, my belief is this is going to be the next mega city in the United States or in the world. And, you know, if we can, you know, do some of these things and create the excitement, I think it would really be exciting.
No, that's vision, don't you think, Gil?
I do. And I think that how powerful a tool would it be for realtors all over the city to have a relocation book that you envision that might help them make a sale?
Mm-hmm. Well, on top of what you see is that we can go out and promote this because there could be an Idiot's Guide to Dallas, an Idiot's Guide to L.A., an Idiot's Guide to New York, an Idiot's Guide to Chicago. So, I mean, I think that there could be some real, you know, great synergy on a national and an international basis.
We have to sell Penguin on this also.
I think that I'm a pretty good salesman.
Okay.
And you all heard it here first, right? And
yes.
You will remember me when you're way out there really big, right?
But don't you want to be involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't want to force myself on you, but I'd love to be involved. That would be great. You know, I got to say, again, you know, I referred to John, the new church start that I did way back when, and looking through here and listening to your questions about how or comments on how businesses start. One of the frustrations I had when I was starting the church was my dad was an entrepreneur, and he would sit there and he'd say, "Let's talk about this as a business." And I would say to him, "But that's not how my bosses see this." And he said, "I don't care how they see it. Let's talk." And my dad was dead on right. He really was.
Well, again, it's always about getting people in the door, whether mm-hmm. it's a nonprofit and you're doing a walk. I've been involved many years with a wonderful charity that I'll give a little shout out to, the Atlanta 2-Day Walk for Breast Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have walkers walking, you don't have an organization. It's in October, also the first week.
Okay.
And all the proceeds stay right here in Atlanta. So
great.
it's a great organization.
Good. Well, once again, it happens every week. The clock gets on us. And to my listeners, I welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or would like to be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, please let me know. All you have to do is send me an email at write, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, right here, write, W-R-I-T-E, now, at gmail.com. And as always, I thank you, Stone, for co-hosting and keeping me on track. I thank you to my two guests, John Damiano and Gail Reed. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. And you can learn more about Right Choice Services at rightchoiceservices.com. Listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock or at rightherenow.businessradiox.com. Or download the MP3 version of all of the interviews on the Right Here, Right Now website. I'm your host, Tim Morrison of Right Here, Right Now. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right here, right now.